We will be talking today about the subject, making servant training practical, as we continue in the series, For the Good of Your Child. Now, Oswald Chambers, who lived in 1874 to 1917, very, very prolific Christian writer, said this about service. If you are going to live for the service of your fellow men, you will certainly be pierced through with many sorrows, for you will meet with more base ingratitude from your fellow men than you would from a dog. That's a pretty strong statement. You will meet with unkindness and two-facedness, and if your motive is love for your fellow men, you will be exhausted in the battle of life. But if the mainspring of your service is love for God, no ingratitude, no sin, no devil, no angel can hinder you from serving your fellow men, no matter how they treat you. You can love your neighbor as yourself, not from pity, but from the true centering of yourself in God. So here it is, talking about why you serve, how you serve. There are many in the world that serve their fellow men, but there's no love of God in their service. They simply love their fellow men. But our motive, our purpose is to serve because we love God. Now in chapter 8 of Dr. Hobbs' book, For the Good of Your Child, he, being a most practical man, chose to write his thoughts toward making servant training of children practical. For God's word is clear regarding God's purpose for his creation. We talked about that purpose last week. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know God's purpose for your life. It's a wonderful thing to know God's will for your life. And many people wonder about this. Young people say, well, I wonder what God's will is for my life. But they're not realizing that all who name the name of Christ should already know this. For all in the family of God are to be servants, and all, therefore, are to prepare to fulfill this purpose. Some of you young people are preparing for an education. They're going through an education. What's the purpose of this education? Well, I want to live a good life. I want to have a comfortable life. I would like to have all of the things of this life. Well, God says that's not the purpose you're here. The purpose that you are here is for service. And you are to prepare to fulfill this purpose. Now think about the preparation one must perform when anticipating being a house servant in the grand home or the grand estate of the powerful. I read again from Robert's Guide for Butlers and Other Household Staff. For he says in this book, as this book is a preparatory book for servants in the big house, there is no servant that can keep from being in a state of confusion that has not a regular rule for his work. And on the other hand, how disagreeable it must be for the lady of the house who has to tell them everything that she wants to be done. Now, that's not a servant who has prepared. The lady of the house goes to the master and says, this servant doesn't know what's going on, and I always have to tell them what to do. Prepare this servant. It was merely for this idea that the author of this book took in hand to lay before the public those general rules and directions for servants to go by as shall give satisfaction to their employers. In other words, you go by your boss's rules. Oh, that's quite an astounding idea. How do I please the boss? I obey his rules and gain a good reputation for themselves, and it is my most earnest wish to give to the utmost extent of my power every instruction that is requisite for a house servant to understand. Now, so this author lists the servant's duties and describes them in details as to how they are to be done. Included in this list is the benefits of early rising to servants. The benefits of early rising to servants. Hit the floor early. On dress suitable for their work. You know, it used to be that people would dress suitable for their work. Years ago, you would go to a hospital and know that there were nurses and know that there were doctors and know that there were clerks because they dressed appropriately for the job. Now I go to the hospital and someone's doing something to me and I wonder who they are. I like people dressing appropriately for the job. I like to have the big high starched hats on the nurses. Called me old-fashioned, but that identifies to me their authority to take my pulse, to give me a shot. Cleaning boots and shoes, cleaning knives and forks, trimming and cleaning lamps, setting up the candles, brushing and folding gentlemen's clothes, address and behavior to your employers. And on in this book, listing over 150 duties for servants to learn. Wow, that's quite a big list. Now you can imagine how much effort it took to bring a man or a woman to servanthood. So thinking about this in your home relative to your children, the same effort or more will apply. In other words, how do you think a child is going to become servant-like? Oh, they'll just figure it out. No, they won't. Now, Dr. Hobbs wrote this. In order to be successful in training your child to be a servant for Jesus Christ. Now, remember that. Is he a servant for you? Well, yes, but he is ultimately to be a servant for Jesus Christ. You're the primer school. You're the kindergarten. The inner desire that your child grow up to be Christ's servant, which is the noblest and highest ambition a parent could possibly have for their child. Do you agree with that? The noblest must be translated into positive action through a biblical plan designed by the grace and help of God to accomplish such a purpose. In other words, you have a purpose. How are you going to get there? Are you going to get there helter-skelter just by the skin of your teeth? But he, as well as the author of Robert's Guide, cited above, agree, servants are not born, servants are made. They're not born. Children are nasty. They are not givers. They're takers. How do you take a child that's a taker and you turn him into a giver? Hard work. Now, in Genesis 1:11, God established a principle for his creation that things should bring forth after their own kind. Remember that in Genesis 1:11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Boy, the grass didn't rebel. The herb yielding seed didn't rebel. They got their marching orders and they reproduced after their own kind. Now the grass and the herb, the fruit tree, has no choice. in what it is to yield, but God gives man his ultimate creation choice. So therefore, our children will be what we train them to be. Will they be selfish? Will they be self-centered? Or will they be generous and caring? Will they be proud and ungrateful? Or will they be humble and thankful? Will they desire to have their own way? That's the way they're delivered in the hospital. I want my own way. From that moment on, you'll be facing that. Will they desire to have their own way, or will they be submissive to those in authority over them? You know, so many times, parents will see themselves when they look at their children. We train most by what we are as parents, not by what we say to our children. You know, that's just the way it is. Example. Example, example. That's how our children, you know, they catch things. You can be talking at the table, and they're at the table, and you don't think they're listening, but they catch things at the table. They catch the tenor of the home. They catch the tone of the home. They catch what their parents think about things. None of us are perfect. Anybody perfect here? I haven't noticed. And we all enter parenthood with defects, but with God's help, we can be successful in training our children to be servants if we ourselves have or desire to have a servant's heart. That's a must. You know, we can do the best we can in Santa Rosa Christian School with the children. The chapel times, I'm sure they're aimed at making servants of the children. All these things are taught. But if they don't have that coming from the home, I could almost say forget it. Forget it. A servant's heart will tell you that successful parenting depends on the Lord. Now, God has, by His grace, given to us the Bible, which is the manual for servant training, and therefore it is a must to know what the manual says. You know, yesterday I was looking for a manual for one of my pieces of equipment that was faulty. Why did I go to the manual? Well, because the maker of that piece of equipment knows about that piece of equipment. And he gave me a list of all the parts and what they do and so on. I go to the manual. Why? Because he made that. God made your children. Don't you think God knows all the details about your children, what makes them tick? There is no reason for parents to wing it as far as bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, for detailed instructions are given so that success will be realized. You know, the Lord does not endorse laziness. He doesn't endorse foolishness. He doesn't endorse unbelief. He will not do for us what He has given us to do as our responsibility. We are co-laborers with God. What does that mean? We labor. God labored, we labor. Oh, I don't like labor. Well, then you'll never have anything. The whole world is revolved around labor. Now, A.W. Tozer, who lived in 1897 to 1963, said this: there are some things that only God can do, and for us to attempt to do them is to waste our efforts. And there are other things that only man can do, and for us to ask God to do them is to waste our prayers. You know, there's a lot of prayers going up to God that God is saying, I'm not listening to that. I'm not going to hear that. Go ahead and do something about it. You know? Oh, Lord, provide for these missionaries. I'm not listening to it. What about your wallet? Why do you pray that when you have the ability to do something, God is saying? Now, when we with faith and determination set out to rear our children to be servants, with the ultimate goal of having our children grow up to be His servants. Now, going back to that quote that I had of Oswald Chambers, why are we doing this? Do you want your children to be servants of fellow men? Well, you'll be disappointed. But if you want them to serve their fellow men because they love God and they want to be His arm on His behalf, then you can be sure of increase in your children. You know, God is a husbandman. That's clear in the Scriptures. God is a husbandman. A husbandman plants the seed and he fertilizes the seed and he nurtures the plants. He's looking for fruit. He's a husbandman, and those who work in his field will always be given more in order to bring greater increase to him, and that includes your investment in your children. You know, we ought to think about our children as an investment for God. Now, our culture will train your children if you neglect this important duty. Oh, how the culture is faithful. The culture is going to train your children. The culture is going to put in your children that which it wants in your children. You know, I believe never in the history of man has Satan, the director of the broad way, had so many ways to train our children to be successful on the broad way. This age that we're living in, you know, you think about the rural age of the past and such little influence that the children had. They were so little influenced by the world. They were so local. But today, our children are global. They can see what's going on in the world at a moment's notice, all the evil and the wickedness and all the alluring sights. So parents, know your enemy. For Satan wishes to have your children, and he has so devised a world system to bring them to his altar. They are faced, and you are faced, with a call to love the world, and the only defense that you have is the grace of God that gives you the sword of the Spirit. Here's your weapon. God says, this is your weapon. That's all I'm going to give you, this weapon. Sufficient. It's sufficient. But you've got to work to know the weapon. You've got to get acquainted with the sword. You know, how would you like to have a sword fight the first time you lifted up a sword? Satan's an expert in sword fighting. Ah, he says, another victim. Hasn't picked up his sword lately. I'm going to slice him in two. So you got to know the sword. You got to practice the sword. You got to know how to use the sword. So arm yourself and put in place a narrow way upon which your children are to walk. Oh, you got to have a broad way, the world says. You got to broaden their mind. You've got to put them so that they have all the opportunities to know everything. God says, no, put them on the narrow way. You know, we tried to raise our children narrowly. We had them in a Christian school. Oh, that's too protective. We went to church all the time. When the doors were open, we were here. We committed that in our marriage the first time when we got saved. We're going to be in church every time. We're going to walk the narrow way. For the first 15 years of our children, we didn't have a television set. And then we sinned and got one. Because of Fox News. But the narrow way. God expects us to walk the narrow way. Make the Bible the center of your home, for in so doing you will have a Christ-centered home. Christ-centered. Remember we talked about that. Do you want a child-centered home? Do you want a father-centered home? A mother-centered home? No, you want a Christ-centered home. That's who you're serving. So make the Bible the center of your home, for in so doing you will have a Christ-centered home. Within that Bible, find the accounts of godly men and women and their deeds, taking note of their servant qualities, faithfulness, obedience, and submission to God's will. This is what you train your children in, the Scriptures, the stories of the Scriptures. Emphasize qualities of character rather than talent, intelligence, or appearance. Oh, that's the thing. That's the Broadway. You know, I went to the ball game at another school, and these little girls have these t-shirts on with all these self-promoting messages. What kind of Christian is that? Ego trips. How wonderful I am. That's not Christian. How wonderful Christ is. That's the message. Get off that Broadway. See it all around you. Go on the narrow way, the Bible says. It's so disappointing to see the prevalence of so many children lifted up by giving attention to qualities of talent and intelligence or appearance. Oh, you're so pretty. So what? What good does that do? You're so talented. Are you using it for the Lord? You're so intelligent. Where did you come? Where'd that come from? Oh, it came from me. I study. Yeah, but where did your native intelligence come from? It came from God. The broad way is the way of pride. It's the way of self. It's the way of self-promotion. And this does not result in servants. Now, in your family Bible study, emphasize courage in facing difficulties, faith in the face of adversity, obedience to God's Word, even when you don't understand why. Read at the earliest age of understanding the life stories of missionaries or other faithful servants of the Lord. You know, you can read Winnie the Pooh, but it doesn't make servants. The world, the Broadway, has all the little books for the children, but they don't make servants. They're not interested in servants. They're interested in the world. Point out the servant qualities of these great men and women as well as their sacrifice for the cause of Christ. Make sure your children's books are good books that are biblical in their approach to right and wrong, good and evil. Teach them that they are not owners, but stewards of what God has placed in their hands. You know, this takes work. This takes what you call parenting. Parenting is not easy if you have a purpose. If you have no purpose, it can be very easy it's not that easy because they're brats. You don't want a brat. That's not easy. That's just a kick in the teeth. But as far as money is concerned, teach money as 100% belonging to the Lord. Now, the tithe is the Lord's, but all money is given to be spent as the Lord directs and is to be used to glorify Him and advance His cause, not ours. Money. Money is so... The world loves money. But we ought to be taught, our children ought to be taught, that all the money in the world belongs to the Lord. He gives you a stewardship. He gives you stewardship. It's to be spent as the Lord directs, and it's to be used to glorify Him and advance His cause, not ours. Now, as early as you determine, let your children disperse their own money, allowance, or earned, being sure that they plan to have something to put in the offering plate every time it passes, even if it is only... Dr. Hobbs had a penny in his book. I've upped it to a dime. A dime or so. Start good giving habits. When that plate goes around, what's it for? To look at it? They've got to think servant. There's the Lord's work that needs to be funded. And I can help. I'm just a child. I'm only 8 years old. I got my allowance last week, but I have something to give and to put it in. Learning servants' habits. The emphasis is that servants are always giving people, for the Lord gave His all for them. You know, so many homes today are centered on the children, but child-centered homes are not homes of servants, for in these kinds of homes, the children are the masters. Oh no, that wouldn't happen in my home. Well, if it's a child-centered home, who's in charge? Don't make every day Christmas Day where children expect gifts to make them happy. You'll never make them happy. They'll always want something more. And you'll go in their closet and it's loaded with toys. What happened to their happiness? Well, I want a new one. Make gifts special times. You know, rare things are dear things. It's like praise. Praise has gotten to be so cheap because it's so often given. Now, I'm not saying you ought not to give praise, but give honest praise. Don't inflate praise. You know, I've said this before, on how many things are praised on the ball field that are absolutely negative praise. There ought to be negative praise. If you could decently boo, they deserve a boo. But instead, they get wonderful job. You know, make your praise honest. You ought to be honest. Have integrity in your praise. So make gifts special times and limit them, especially toys and playthings as the children get older. Perhaps they get money from a relative. Why not place the thought that God has now given them the opportunity to give some or all of it to missionaries, the needy, or a neighbor who is suffering? Why not place that thought? Son or daughter, now you have a little bit of money. Think about this need over here. Now you've discussed these needs in your family times, all the needs of the missionaries and the teachers and all of these things. They know of the needs. We've been praying for the needs. How about you doing something? The church always has special needs. Emphasize the fact that God's word declares that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So why can't they be part of that blessing? Why not enter them into the part of blessing by them giving? Tell them to put God to the test. You know, God will never fail them. Now, our culture promotes being first in everything. Now, it's wonderful to win, and I have nothing against winning, but teach your children they do not have to be first in everything, especially when it pertains to allowing others to benefit before them. You know, giving others opportunity to be ahead of them in the line at church socials or other occasions is an example. Does your child always run to be first? Well, there are places where they ought to allow others. You know, we were taught to allow a lady to go ahead. We were taught to open the door for a lady. We were ought to benefit others just in that act. That you're not, as we said one time, the cat's meow. You know, I asked someone that the other day, and they said, well, I've heard of that, but I really didn't know what it meant. Well, you know how proud a cat is? He thinks that his meow ought to gain attention right away. And that's what people think that they are. Whatever they say ought to gain attention right away. That's not a good attribute of a servant. Servants let others enjoy benefits and have a heart to place themselves last. Teach them to offer to let others, especially their elders, go first. You know, it's a tragedy. I see children running in the school here, running in the church, and there's elders in place. I almost got knocked over the other day, and here I am, an elder, getting knocked over by a child. Ought not to be. Children ought not to be running in buildings. Why? Because they could hurt someone, and they could hurt themselves. That's part of giving up their liberty for others. And I know this is totally out of date. And your children may be thought of as odd, but teach them to honor age in all things. Leviticus 19:2 still pertains, I believe, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. Hoary, that's the gray head. And honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Now that's what God said in His Word. Children ought to be taught to honor the elders. They ought to make place for the elders. When there's an elder that comes in their presence, they ought to rise up. Now they'll be thought of as queer, as odd by their other, by children other than that if they haven't been taught, but that's what they're to be taught. Respect for the older folks. And included in this rising up are servants who will rise up to tend to the needs of the elderly. Teach your children to do jobs or run errands for them. Do you have an older folk in that neighborhood that they can help? Every neighborhood has people of need who would be so blessed. Now be careful if they have a weak heart, because they'll probably keel over. Some young person knocks on the door, can I rake your leaves? What? At no cost. But why not? What's wrong with that? What a testimony if that old person down the block had a young person who tended to their yard on a regular basis, asking nothing but the opportunity to serve Christ. What a shock that would be. But that's the way it ought to be with the servant's heart. You know, we're the body of Christ. What does a body do? A body serves. Christ is the head. He left us here to be the body. For me to live as Christ, I'm supposed to be Christ in the neighborhood. Christian children are part of that body and are to work the works of Christ, who is the head. Now, that's the normal way of thinking. And Christians, we're on the narrow path, and that's how we ought to bring up our children. Why can't they mow the grass? Why can't they rake the leaves? Why can't they wash the car, carry in firewood, mail letters, or even shop for them? There are sick and those that are shut in. Imagine the joy, and I'll stop here, of having a young person who loves the Lord read to them, sit with them to relieve other family members. Imagine the joy that would be brought into that old person's heart. But also imagine the joy that God would put in the young person's heart. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Don't you believe that? You know, you receive something, oh, I'm so blessed. But if you give something, you'll be more blessed. If you get a 60 blessing by receiving, you'll get 120 blessing by giving. That's what God says. Why don't we believe it? Be givers instead of takers, and make sure you train your children to be givers, and you'll never go wrong. God will be pleased. You'll be pleased. You'll have a happy home, and your neighborhood will be happy because you have servants that are willing to give to those in need. Father, we are thankful for the wonderful Word of God. Lord, it's so easy to read the Word of God, but it's so hard to be a doer of the Word of God. And I pray, Father, there's a lot of folks in our congregation that have already raised children, but there are folks that are raising children, and there are young people that will have children. Oh, Lord, help them to purpose in their heart that they will be servants of Jesus Christ, and they will raise their children to be servants of Jesus Christ. For there's no more noble position that you've given us than that of a servant. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.